that. There we go. Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you again. I always enjoy coming here. Big apologies from my family. They would love to be here, but kids' parties, I don't know what it is, but families like to put them on a Sunday. And most of the time, they're a little bit later in the day, but unfortunately not today. But they wanted to be here. In fact, I was already driving here. My wife rang me and she's like, oh, Nathaniel now says he wants to come. Too bad. A bit late. But today I want us to look at the story of Abraham and what we can learn about his story and his faith journey, about holding on to God's promises. And in particular, I think the things that we discover as we seek to try to hold on to God's promises through our own journeys of faith. But as we begin, I want to ask you the question. Just think for a moment what you would say to someone if they were to ask you about what it means to hear the voice of God. What do you reckon you would say to them if they asked you, what does it mean to hear the voice of God? See, I recently had an occasion where I was asked that very same question by some non-Christians. Some Buddhists asked me that question. You know, the story goes is that I go to a local gym and it's become one of my, what I would call a scent place. It's a place where I'm not just working out and getting fit, but I'm also building relationships and friendships there. And one of the things I've done in trying to build friendships and community is I've set up a Facebook Messenger group with a stack of people there at the gym. And a couple of months ago, it was someone in that group's birthday. And so we're all there wishing him a happy birthday. And when I wished him a happy birthday, he then said to me, Chris, why don't you come over tonight for some drinks to celebrate my birthday with me? Well, it's my scent place. It's someone I'm trying to build a relationship with. So, of course, I jumped at that opportunity to go over to celebrate his birthday with his family and some friends. But as I was there that night, there was a point where the conversation changed. You know, my friend whose birthday it was told everyone there that I was a pastor. Now, sometimes that completely stops conversation and makes things really awkward. But this was not one of those moments. You see, what then happened is that those people there who I said were mostly Buddhists, they began to ask questions about how I became a pastor. And so I told them that it started back in 2005. I was working for a company in at Epping, and I used to get to work about an hour earlier to try and beat some traffic, but I'd sit in the park and I'd do my quiet time. And so as I sat in that park doing my quiet time for about 6 months, I told them that I heard God saying to me every day, Chris, go to college and become a pastor. Well, after I told them that, they then very curiously asked me, what do you mean God spoke to you? Well, once I'd done my best to try and answer that question, a follow-up question then came. Do you still hear voices? You see, for these Buddhists, the thought that a God who was personal, who communicated with these people, was something that they had never heard of before. And so they were intrigued. Was I actually hearing the voice of God, or was I indeed crazy? Now, hopefully most of you should know the answer to that question, although perhaps they're not mutually exclusive options either. But indeed, we worship and we follow a God who speaks to us, who is with us, and God who seeks to guide all that we do. But for many people in our world, they don't know of such a God. Well, I guess that as we begin to look at how we hold on to God's promises, as we look at the story of Abraham, we discover the reality of the voice and the presence of God in our lives. You know, the reality is that God speaks to us all. No matter where we are on our faith journey, God is there communicating to us. He's speaking his words into our life. And he's making promises to us that we're called to hold on to in this journey of faith. You know, at times we open up the Word of God and we read about these general promises, promises that God has made to all people for all generations. And when I think about the promises in the Bible, passages like Lamentations chapter 3 comes to mind, where in verse 22 it says this. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." Now, this here is a promise that for all of us, for every person and for all generations, that no matter what happens in our world and no matter what happens in our lives, the love of God will always be with us, every single one of us. What a promise that is. You know, then there's passages like Deuteronomy chapter 31 in verse 6, which is echoed a couple of times in Joshua chapter 1. Where the people of God, they're about to step out into the promised land finally after being wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And God says something very specific to them for that moment, but there is also a strong promise for us all that follows. It says this, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." You know, as we read the Word of God, we hear God communicating to us these promises that He will always go with us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, it doesn't matter where we are on our faith journey. It doesn't matter if we're just starting our faith journey with God or whether we've been on that journey for 30, 40, 50 years. You see, it doesn't matter either on your present circumstance, whether things are going well in life or whether things are not going well. It doesn't matter whether you feel a closeness to God or not. You see, no matter what goes on in our world or in our faith journey, this is a promise that God will always be with us. And so we're called to hold on to these promises as we walk this faith journey. But then there are promises that God speaks to us individually. You see, if we believe in a God that really knows us individually and is with us in life, then it shouldn't be a surprise to hear that He will also speak to you and I as individuals. And this is where we come to the story of Abraham, or Abram at this point. You see, through Abraham's journey of faith, there becomes a moment in Genesis chapter 12 where God speaks directly to him. We don't hear about how God spoke to him. All we know is that God spoke and Abraham listened. He knew it was him. And this is what the voice of God says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" In these very words, we discover the presence and the work of God directly to Abraham. God speaks to Abraham, and Abraham listens to that voice of God. And as he listens, God makes these promises specifically to him. He says that he'll make him into a great nation, that from his name will come a family of people whom will be great, and they will be numerous, and they will be blessing to all peoples on earth for all time. You know, this is a pretty big and a pretty perhaps overwhelming promise that God is making to Abraham. And as we continue to read on throughout Genesis, we see time and time again God repeating his promise, continually speaking, continually affirming to Abraham those promises. You know, perhaps Abraham is a bit like me and is really, really forgetful. God keeps reminding him. As the years go on, God keeps reminding him, keeps reaffirming him, these promises. But indeed, these promises and this communication with God and Abraham shows that God is present in Abraham's life. And as Abraham continues this journey of faith, as we see in the coming chapters of Genesis, Abraham does his best to try and hold on to these promises, and he tries to wait for God to fulfill them. You know, I think that through this journey of faith, it can be really hard to hold on to the promises of God at times and to hear his voice. You know, many of our lives are so busy that it doesn't really leave so much room for us, not so much for God to speak, but for us to actually listen to the words that God might be speaking to us. But when we get an opportunity to stop, when we get stuck into his word, when we spend time in prayer, and when we seek to listen to his voice, we discover a God that is with us, a God that wants to talk with us, and a God that wants to make promises to us for us to hold on to through this faith journey. And so the first thing we discover as we look at the story of Abraham, I think, is as we seek to hold on to the promises of God, is we discover the voice and the presence of God in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I must admit that often I can be a bit of a skeptic when it comes to the power of God. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe that God is all-powerful, but I can be a bit of a skeptic at times because this rational side of me so easily kicks in. I remember when I was pastoring a church many years ago, there was a young lady there a few years older than me at the time, that I started visiting her regularly. She had some significant medical issues. She had type 1 diabetes her whole life, but it was getting to a point where it was quite out of control and really hard to manage with insulin. But then there was an abundance of other medical issues that she was faced with, and they were all interacting with one another, and it meant that she was in and out of hospital quite a lot. Over the years, I had the pleasure of meeting with her regularly and journeying with her through faith, and trying to work through, well, what was God trying to say through all of this, and where was God in all of these struggles? Now, there was one thing that really stood out to me as I met with her, and it was her incredible understanding of the all-powerfulness of God. You see, she knew that God was able to completely heal her if he chose to. And so each time we met, we prayed, we begged, we asked God to intervene into her life and to bring about miraculous healing because doctors were unable to heal her. But as she talked about her love and her faith in God, and as she continued her prayers for healing and spoke of her hope, I must admit that there was this part of me at times that thought that it almost seemed like too big of an ask. Don't get me wrong, as I said, I believe that God is all-powerful in my head, but did I really know it in my heart? And did I really expect God to bother to show up and to show his power? You know, we read throughout the scriptures, particularly the New Testament with Jesus, of miracle upon miracle, where the paralyzed people begin to walk, where the dead come to life, where a woman stops bleeding and the blind are able to see. We read stories of the power of God in creation, of God being able to bring about a great flood, but also being able to hold back the seas. And so on it goes. But then in some ways, even though I read all these stories and I know about these stories, in some ways I still doubt the power of God at times and revert back to modern science and medicine. Those things aren't bad. God created science and medicine. But sometimes I just rely on that instead of the power of God. Well, in the story of Abraham, as God continues to reaffirm his promises to him, in Genesis 15, there appears to be an issue. In verses 2 to 3, Abraham responds to God by saying this. He says, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Come on, God. How can you possibly fulfill your promise to me since I don't have a son? How are you going to do this when we've been unable to fall pregnant? Come on, God, there is a big problem here. You know, again, we read on, and in chapter 17, again, God reaffirms his promise to Abraham, because perhaps he's forgotten again, or he's finding it hard to hold on to that promise. But listen to Abraham's response this time in chapter 17, verse 17. It says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. God, I know you're all powerful, but this is impossible. We are too old. Can you hear that the struggle of faith here for Abraham as he hears these promises again from God? Now, no matter how many times God tells him these promises, Abraham finds all the things wrong with it. And, you know, I read this and I think to myself, perhaps I am a little bit more like Abraham than I thought I was. He laughed at the promises of God because it seemed impossible. God was too late, so he thought. But you see, as we seek to hold on to the promises of God in our lives, in this journey of faith, I want to say that we begin to discover the all-powerfulness of God. We discover that God can and does do the impossible. We discover that God is able to accomplish things that we are unable to do for ourselves. And this here is Abraham's lesson. As Abraham laughs, God tells him that nothing, absolutely nothing, is outside his power. And so God says to Abraham in verse 19 of chapter 17, he says, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Your wife Sarah will bear you a son. You know, for God, age does not matter. For God, prior fertility, success or failure does not matter. See, God makes it clear that if he has promised it, so will it be done. If he has promised it, so will it be done. And I wonder, as I journey through faith and as I seek to hold on to the promises of God, do I need to lean more into the all-powerfulness of God and trust that if he has promised it, no matter how hard or how impossible it may seem, do I need to realize more that God will make a way? You know, this is really hard, that particularly after month or year after year goes by and you're still waiting for God to fulfill that promise that he had made to you when it all seems impossible. But I guess that's why it requires faith. And so as we continue to see what faith looks like in holding on to God's promises, I want to say that we discover not only the voice and the presence of God in our lives, but we also discover the all-powerfulness of God in our lives. Now, let's be honest. At this point, we all like to take matters into our own hands at times, do we not? You know, as humans, we can be pretty good at solving our own problems and just getting the job done. And I think, in a sense, God made us with that capacity to be able to do that. He's given us these gifts and skills to be able to accomplish things. Well, I learned from a very early age that I was pretty handy around the house. And my mum would often call me Mr. Fix-It when she needed something done. But I must admit that sometimes I learnt that there are some things that I shouldn't try and do myself, such as fixing the switch to the garage door without the power being turned off. That was exciting. And I think this is where we see the struggle in the journey of faith for Abraham and Sarah, as they try to hold on to these promises of God. You see, yes, God's promises seem significant and they seem big, but they also seem impossible. And so they make a decision to take matters into their own hands. Let's read Genesis 16 from verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. What on earth were they thinking? You know, as they sought to hold on to the promises of God, they saw their inability to fall pregnant as a barrier to God being able to fulfill his promise. And so they came up with their own plan, a plan which required infidelity, of Abraham sleeping with someone who wasn't his wife, and hoping that that would be the way that God would bring about his promises. You know, I understand that it would have been hard for them with this desire to have a child of their own and knowing that holding on to God's promises, that a child was essential for God to fulfill those promises. But I must admit here that this is a cataclysmically bad decision and it is not the solution that God had in mind for them. But in the midst of this very bad decision, in this moment in the lack of faith in God's power and his ability to fulfill his promises, we discover something really incredible. We discover the graciousness of God. Let's read chapter 17 from verse 4. "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." And let's skip down to verse 15, which I read a bit earlier. "God also said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her.' Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, 'Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, 'If only Ishmael might live under your blessing.' And then God said, 'Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be a father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation.'" God's promise to Abraham was not for him to go off and to sleep with Sarah's slave and to have a child born out of adultery. But yet, God reveals his graciousness. He still remains faithful to the original promise. And despite Abraham and Sarah's bad decision to take matters into their own hands, God graciously chooses to also bless Ishmael and his descendants too. You know, I know that through my own life, my own faith journey, there are plenty of times that I haven't listened to the voice of God and trusted in his guiding enough. I know there are times where I've perhaps heard the promises of God, but when I failed to see God fulfilling them, I have gone off and done things my own way, or perhaps I've doubted the voice of God in the first place. But as I read of the graciousness of God throughout the story of Abraham, but also through all the pages of Scripture, I'm encouraged that no matter what happens, God will remain with me and will continue to guide me. It doesn't mean we should go off and do things on our own and simply rely on God's continued graciousness and forgiveness, though. But as we seek to continue to hold on to God's promises, rest assured that the graciousness of God is with us through this faith journey. Well, finally, as we through faith seek to hold on to God's promises, another thing I think we discover in this journey is the faithfulness of God. Let's be honest, as humans, we can be pretty unfaithful to one another at times. You know, we make promises all the time, and frequently promises made only to be broken again. Sometimes those promises are small and insignificant, and so there's little harm that is done when those promises get broken. But at other times, those promises are large and significant, and they can create great, deep pain when we break them. But as we look throughout the story of Abraham, as God continues to reaffirm his promises to him, even though it seems impossible and even laughable, and even though Abraham and Sarah take matters into their own hands and make terrible decisions and actions, still we discover the incredible faithfulness of God as he fulfills the promises. Let's read Genesis 21 together. And I love this passage from verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah born him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Friends, this is where our faith journey all comes together. It's all in the faithfulness of God. You know, as we read about the faithfulness of God in the story of Abraham, but also throughout all the pages of Scripture, we are assured of the faithfulness of God in our own lives. There will be times where things seem impossible, but God remains faithful. There will be times where we think God might have forgotten us, but God remains faithful. There will be times where we take matters into our own hands and we make mistakes, and sometimes some really big mistakes, but yet God remains faithful. And so let us hold firm to God's promises, because God is faithful. Well, as I finish up now, I just want to share with you one more story. Now, I'm not sure if I've shared this story with you before or not, but if I have, then it's worth sharing again anyway. And about 7.5 years ago, as a family, we went through a really hard time. Many of you know that. And that hard time lasted a few years. You know, with what we were going through, there were plenty of moments of tears and of feeling hopelessness and just crying out to God for him to intervene in our lives and to reveal himself to us. Now, through that period, there was a point where we needed to move out of the house that we were living in and to find another house to rent. Now, at the time, we had no income. No income whatsoever. And neither my wife and I were working, and we were just living off savings. And so it didn't really make us the most ideal candidate for a landlord. But we looked for houses anyway. Now, we checked out a few houses, but none had been quite right for our family to this point. And then one day, as we set off to go look at another house, my daughter Amelia, who had only just turned 3 years old, she was sitting there in the back seat of the car next to my son, who was probably about 8 months old at the time, maybe 7 months. And so suddenly my three-year-old daughter Amelia said to us, is the house going to be purple? Now, I guess that's a strange question to ask, as we hadn't talked about the colours of houses before. But as she asked that question, and as I was driving, I said to her, without really thinking, perhaps that often happens a lot to me, I said to her, no, the house won't be purple, but maybe there'll be a purple room. Now, you know those moments when you say things and you can see the words leave your mouth, but you want to quickly try and grab those words and stuff them back in because you shouldn't have spoken them? Well, this was one of those moments. You see, the problem was we had seen lots of photos of this house that we were going to see, and there was no purple room. And so I felt like I was setting my three-year-old daughter up for disappointment. But then what happened in that car was amazing. Immediately, my 3-year-old daughter Amelia started praying out loud in the back seat of the car. It was a short and simple prayer, but she said this: "Dear God, please help there to be a purple room. Amen." Now, part of me as a parent, I was surprised and excited to see my daughter praying to God out loud. But there's something that happened that I remember distinctly. You see, after she said amen, she said something I'll never forget. She looked at my wife and I and told us, "God said yes." What on earth were we going to do when we turned up to this house and there was no purple room? She thinks she's heard a promise from God, but how disappointed is she going to be when there is no purple room there? Anyway, we arrived at the house and we started having a look around, and it looked like a house that would be good for our family. And then Amelia went into one of the bedrooms, got really excited because the sheet on the bed was purple. Clearly, purple was her favorite color. But then I turned my head to the right and then suddenly drew Amelia's attention to the fact that there in that room on the right was a purple wall. You know, I must admit that when I saw that wall, I just wanted to cry. Did God really listen to the prayer of my 3-year-old daughter? Did she really hear the voice of God make a promise to her? In that moment, God spoke not just to my daughter, but he also spoke to us. You see, he said to us, "I have heard your prayers and I'm here with you. It's okay. I'm still faithful to my promises. I've got you." Now, it just so happens that that's the house we ended up getting to rent, and we've now been there for about 6.5 years. Praise God. And that's actually her bedroom, that room with the purple wall. But in many ways, we're still in that process of waiting for God to fulfill his promises to us. There have been moments where we've asked God, "God, is this? Are you now fulfilling your promises to us?" But God said to us, "No, Chris, just trust me. Just trust me." And so we keep waiting in faith, knowing that he will continue to be faithful to his promises. But I love the fact that for me, God chose to speak to me through my 3-year-old daughter. Somehow she felt a prompting by God to pray. God heard her prayer, and now a stupid purple wall has become a large part of the story of God's faithfulness to us. You know, sometimes we joke about when we want God to reveal himself to us, we say, "God, can you just put the writing on the wall for us?" Well, God didn't put the writing on the wall for us. Instead, he painted the whole wall. You see, holding on to God's promises at times can be really hard. I don't know where you are with your journey of waiting for God to fulfill his promises to you. Perhaps he's fulfilled his promises already, and that's fantastic, and we praise God for that. But I wonder how many people here this morning are still waiting, perhaps hoping that God hasn't forgotten you and that he'll bring about his promises at the right time. This morning, no matter where you are on this journey of faith and in holding on to God's promises, I encourage you to keep pressing into God. Seek him out and keep listening to his voice. Discover his power. Thank him for his overwhelming, continued graciousness. And rejoice in his faithfulness, because indeed we worship a God who is with us and a God who is good. Let us pray. Father God, I am continually blown away by the fact that you love me and that you are with me. Thank you so much that you want to walk through life with me, a mere sinner, but someone yet whom you choose to love and to offer your grace and forgiveness to. Father, I pray that through this journey of faith that I will learn to listen to your voice and feel your presence more. Father God, help me to discover your powerfulness more. When things seem impossible, help me to know that nothing is impossible for you. Father, I know there will be times where I will continue to stuff up and I will fail, But I thank you so much for your graciousness. Help me to never take your graciousness for granted. And Father God, I pray that I see your faithfulness more in my life. In not just the big things, but the small things. Father, thank you for being with us and for loving us. Thank you that you would come down to this earth to the people that rejected you, and you would die on a cross so that we may be forgiven. We love you, Jesus. Amen.